Well, take your Bibles there and turn to John chapter 18 there. When my wife was a young girl back in the Jackson household, she has an older sister, and her older sister would make the little sister cross the line in the Jackson kitchen. And her older sister is Linda, and Linda would say to Beth, go over and sneak some cookies. Don't let Mom find out, though. Right? Sneak some snacks. You know, she wouldn't cross that line herself, but it was okay if my wife got caught over in the act there sneaking cookies. But she wouldn't cross that line herself. As I was getting ready for this message, I happened to think of that story. And actually, when I told the story out in Dodge, I got it backwards. I thought she was the one sending her older sister, but I wasn't right. So hopefully I got my story straight this time around. Anyhow, maybe you have can remember maybe your older sister, your older brother used to do that to you. Maybe not, maybe no, maybe so. Well, in our passage for tonight, we see the Pharisees and the Sadducees and scribes and this little group called they didn't have any trouble with pushing Jesus across a certain kind of line, but they weren't going to cross this particular line themselves. And so we're going to notice that in our passage this evening here. The first thing I'd like for us to look at in John chapter 18 here is second one is their accusation, their appetite. There it goes. Their appetite. Thank you for allowing us to come and switch like this here. And Seth, he's over at Dodge preaching tonight. And I sure appreciate that and enjoy coming over and spending a little time with you and taking care of our appetite so we can preach extra long tonight. Should have you home by 1 o'clock tomorrow when the games start, hopefully. I'll have to do sooner than that because we have a little travel tomorrow. So, their appetite. Notice in John 18 there, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the Praetorium. I was curious, as I was looking at this, who is the they? As I think about their appetite, who is the they? The Jews. How do you know that? Well, you mean I don't have to preach tonight? It's already in there? What a deal. The Jews. Well, you're pretty close. You're right on the button there. So we're going to expand this Jews. Who are the Jews? Pharisees and Sadducees. Does your bulletin tell you that? Yeah, it's the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. You go back into the earlier part of John 18, you discover there's a Roman cohort involved in the situation here. A Roman cohort could be anywhere from 600 to 1,000 soldiers. It's possible a good chunk of them anyways came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. We also discover that they can include, there's police, like temple police, and there's a good chunk of them as well. There's a lot of soldiers going out to arrest Jesus. Jesus is an unarmed man. He has no sword on him. He has no gun. He doesn't have anything like that on him, nor do any of his disciples. And yet they think they need to go out there with this huge army. I maybe shouldn't use the word huge, but a lot of soldiers to go and arrest Jesus. Totally unarmed men. And yet, this is the they that's included in there. The scribes, the Pharisees, there's some high priests involved in here, and temple police, and the Jews. And they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the Praetorium. As we look at this passage, we'll discover that included in the they, I could really include myself if I was really honest with myself. If you're honest with yourself, you could include yourself in the they as you carry through here. Then they led him, okay? The word led. Matthew writes this in such a way where he wants you to be in the hallways watching Jesus being led by you. He wants to put you right there in those hallways or the streets so that you can see them leading Jesus, you know, by ropes or chains or whatever they used. You're watching it. That's how he words that word, led. They led Jesus from Caiaphas into the Praetorium. Over with Caiaphas there, they were really mean to Jesus. They hit him with their fists. They spit on him. They mocked him. They made fun of him. They laughed at him. They put a purple robe on him and all kinds of silly stuff that they were doing to him. They were really mean to him. Okay? And so they lead him to the Praetorium. The Praetorium, then, is a place where the Roman governor would stay. It's his residence. And maybe in his residence there's some kind of a hall there or some kind of a courtyard or something that they would hold public hearings. And the Roman procurator, Pontius Pilate, would come out and he would meet with the people there, kind of like have a court session out in the public. And so that's kind of where that place is at. Matthew also tells us that as they led Jesus over to the Praetorium, what was the time? What time frame was it? According to Matthew 28, or 18, verse 28. Search the letter E. Early. Early morning there. It was early. So we could ask ourselves, why does Matthew include that deal, or that detail? Why did God see that it was important that you knew that it was early? Well, there's maybe a couple of possibilities here. As Matthew records that it was early, the Jews, scribes, Pharisees, temple police, and Sadducees, they had already held a trial. What time of the day or night did the trial occur? It occurred at night, which was illegal. They weren't supposed to have trials at night. They had also passed a sentence. They sentenced him to death. From what I could gather, they were supposed to wait an entire day before they could actually be tried and condemned on the same day. You couldn't do that. So they had already done a couple of illegal things. And they wanted to get this done as quickly as possible. So they go right from meeting at night. The sun's starting to rise, and let's get him over there as fast as possible. Okay? They didn't want Pilate to know what was going on. They didn't know they didn't want Pilate to find out what they'd been up to. So the sooner they could get him over there, the sooner the better. Okay? It also indicates to us that Pilate is not aware of what has been happening. It's not that Pilate has been in the background planning this here. It's early. He's not pushing this, okay? Pilate got up that morning and he was getting ready for his morning. He went downstairs and, I don't know, maybe his cooks, I suppose you would say, fried him up some scrambled eggs and some bacon and probably some cup of coffee or two and some toast with peanut butter and strawberry preserves. And he was just sitting down early in the morning, thinking to himself, I wonder what's going to happen today. And that's kind of that idea behind the early. And so there he was sitting, having his breakfast, all right? And so we discover here then that they themselves did not enter into the Praetorium. Themselves, again, that would include the Jews, the scribes, Pharisees, and also these a large number of temple police and perhaps the Roman cohort were still involved in this at this point in time. Maybe they had done something else. But there was a lot of people there, a lot of soldiers, armed soldiers. See? And so they come walking by leading Jesus. Okay, what I found interesting about that was Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Son of God, Son of Man, is being led by human beings. Okay? Pretty interesting, isn't it? Kind of gives us a little picture, a little insight into the depravity of man. Okay, and we'll get to that little further as well. Okay. They themselves, as they're leading Jesus, they're walking along, and they got Jesus by ropes or chains, and they're dragging him along. Come on, pal. And they get right here. We'll go right there. They get to that line, and they stop in their tracks. We're not going to cross that line right there. That's too far, because Pilate is over there. He's a Roman pagan. He's not a Jew. He doesn't know our God, and he's not interested in knowing our God. And if we step past that line, we're going to get dirty. We're going to get defiled, and we won't be able to eat the Passover, that special meal that we got ready for us. No dinner for us if we cross that line. And so as they come dragging Jesus, they're dragging him along, getting closer and closer and closer, and then they stop. Okay. And then they send probably a soldier or something, someone like that, to go and get Pilate. We're not crossing this line because we're top-notch stuff. We're upholders of the law. And they're going to show Pilate. Notice the word show. They're going to show Pilate that we uphold our laws to the T. Do they? Not at all. We've already discovered that they held a trial at night. That's illegal. Highly illegal for them. And to sentence Jesus on the same day, you can't do that. And to hit him, we weren't supposed to do that either, I don't think. Okay? But they're going to show Pilate that they wouldn't get defiled, all right? You know, I thought about that, and they're afraid to get defiled. From what I could gather, you know, they said if we step into the same room as a Roman, we're going to defile ourselves. We're going to get dirty and filthy, and we won't be able to eat this Passover meal type thing. Okay. However, how do I want to go? It's just all for show. That's all it really was for them. They wanted to impress Pilate with, you know, how wonderful they are, these fantastic people. Look at us, Pilate. In the dark, they're awful. But when it came time for Pilate to look at them, then we're buttoning up my coat. Look at us now, Pilate. We're good stuff. You can trust us, Pilate. You know, what we say is it's good. You know, I thought about that in my life and in your life. Are we like that sometimes? In the dark of the night, we aren't so law-abiding. We're not so honest or whatever it might be. But in the front of Pilate's, the Pilate's of our lives, then, look at me. And I thought about that, and, you know, that's really, again, a little glimpse of the depravity of man. When it comes to showing others, we're good stuff. But in the darkness, we're really not. Okay? Which brings into light all the more contrast of Jesus. He was willing to keep marching towards the cross for people like that, who live one way, but they pretend to be in something else that they're not. Okay? And that's really a picture of me too, isn't it? Yeah. So, they didn't want to get defiled, that they might eat the Passover. I thought about that. One of my commentators noted that this is probably some kind of a joyous celebration meal on this Friday then. And they wanted to make sure that they got to eat their lamb chops. They had lamb chops in their crock pot. And they're more interested in getting rid of Jesus so that they could get home and eat their lamb chops and mashed potatoes and gravy and stuffing and peas. That was more important to them than Jesus, the Son of God. And I thought about it in my own life. Are there other things that I put more emphasis on? Are there other things that are more important to me? I put my dinner out in front of Jesus. I think if I'm honest, sometimes I do. And that's what they're doing right here. They were more interested in their Passover dinner than justice and Jesus. Get rid of him. Hand him over to the Romans. Let's go home and eat. And so this is the kind of people that Jesus died on the cross for. And again, if we're real honest, we'll see ourselves in verse 28. That would bring us to our second thought. So we notice their appetite. Their appetite was their power. Power and pride. So we also notice then their accusation. So we notice their appetite. Now we notice their accusation. Notice what happens in verse 29. Therefore Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring to him, or bring against him?" So Pilate, he was sitting there at his kitchen table eating his scrambled eggs and his bacon, and he was just enjoying his breakfast. When one of his soldiers shows up and says, "Pilate, are you ready to get to work? You got trouble out there." And so he has to leave his scrambled eggs and put them in the fridge and warm up in the microwave later. And he goes out there and here it's these people, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the temple police, maybe the chief priests were there too, and the Jews and the soldiers. And oh, good grief, not you clowns. Do you think he was excited to deal with these people? Probably not. "You mean I left my scrambled eggs for you people?" He didn't like them, and they didn't like him. Yet, notice he comes out, and he goes to them, because they wouldn't come to him. Now, what's interesting here, Pilate says, "What accusation do you bring against him?" Pilate starts off pretty well. He's doing what a Roman procurator is supposed to do, a Roman judge, as he's the governor of the people there. He comes to them, and he says, "What accusation do you bring? I need to get to the bottom of this." And so he starts off pretty well, but he goes downhill in a hurry. The Jewish people, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, they didn't think that Pilate, being a Roman pagan, would do the right thing. Have you ever been in that place yourself where you say, "You know, so-and-so's an unbeliever, I highly doubt they'll do the right thing"? Or maybe you're not like me. I've been there sometimes, and, oh, I guess they did do the right thing. Pilate, he's going to come out there, and he's going to get to the bottom of this. State your accusation. Court is open for session. You know, we're out here in the public, and that's how they would do it from what I could gather. Bring it all out. Put it all out in the open here. What's your accusation? Okay. They didn't really want that, though. Scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, that was the last thing they wanted. Because what was their accusation? "Are you the King of the Jews? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Son of God?" What did Jesus say? "I am." They didn't want Pilate to hear that. They didn't want Pilate to know that their accusation had to do with their religious laws. "He's the Son of God. I don't want to hear that about that stuff." That's another reason why they came early, because they didn't want Pilate to find any of this information out. So their accusation, they really don't have any accusations, do they? They want to bypass that as fast as possible, because notice what Pilate said, a little ways down here, he said, I find him innocent. I find no guilt in him. You have no accusations. Anyhow, you get back here to verse 30, "They answered and said to him, 'If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you.'" So what they're trying to do with Pilate, they're trying to back him up into a corner. They're trying to impress him. You know, they have one criminal, I should say one so-called criminal, in their minds, chained up or roped up, and they're dragging him along, and they have soldiers from one end of the wall to the next, and, "You know, Pilate, this man, he's dangerous. Look at all the soldiers we had to bring along this morning." and look here, we didn't cross this line. You can trust us, Pilate, because we uphold the laws, even though, whatever. He's dangerous. You need to get rid of him as fast as possible. We've already made the judgment against him. He needs to go. You just need to agree with us. Pilate should have said, wait a minute here. You say he's an evildoer. That was their accusation. He's an evildoer. Or in other words, he's broken Roman law. Pilate should have said, well, okay, well, let's find out what it is. But he really doesn't. He's an evildoer. So here Jesus is standing between the they, that group of they, and they call him an evildoer. Is Jesus an evildoer? No. He's not an evildoer. He's not a break. He didn't break any Roman law. He certainly didn't break any Jewish law. They call him an evildoer. He's a bad man. But Jesus, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth. He's not an evildoer. So if I said so-and-so is an evildoer, if I point to Jesus, he's an evildoer, but he's the truth, what does that make me? Search the letter L. It makes me a liar. Jesus is standing next to a whole bunch of liars, lawbreakers, mean people. They spit on them, they hit them, they whatever else. And Jesus is standing next to them. Do you see why it's amazing love? He's an evil man. Pilate, he's an evil man. We got to get him out of here. They're liars. And Jesus is willing to go to the cross for these people that he's standing next to, and he says nothing. Isn't that amazing? And we see our real, the total depravity of man in treating the truth like this. Okay, you know, that's why it's so, you know, Lent is a time where we, you know, there's maybe a little more sorrow involved in things. Because I see the way I treat him. And he still goes for me. Or put yourself in her. I see the way I've treated him. And he still went to the cross for me. Good grief. Am I really like that? Yeah. We really are. The same awfulness that was within these people lies within you and me. And that's why Jesus kept on going, because he knew he needed to die on the cross for you and me. And he was willing to do that. So as you hear today's passage, we see their appetite was for power and pride and prestige and so on and so forth. They didn't want to let that go. They weren't about to submit themselves to the authority of Jesus. Okay. Know that God would stir in your heart and my heart to give us a different appetite. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste. Lord God, put a new taste in my life. Put a new taste in your life to taste the Lord and have an appetite for him. Okay? An accusation. We see these liars standing with Jesus. And if I'm really honest, I'll catch myself in here. All we like sheep have gone astray. There is none righteous. All have sinned and fall short to the glory of God. And Jesus was willing to stand there and keep walking towards the cross to die for your sins and my sins. And that's really good news, okay? Yeah, I see the awfulness involved in this. And it's also important to note the good news that Jesus died for you. And by receiving him, you can have your sins washed away and cleansed because of his great love for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the good news for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that you've given to us. And thank you for standing there and taking it, silent. Lord, we thank you for your determination. Thank you for the word of God that said this is what was going to happen because of your great love, for God so loved. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for washing us of our sins and cleansing us that we might be made new. In Jesus' name, amen.